to the Illini Inquirer podcast. It is Jeremy Warner, Illini Inquirer publisher, here with you. And today was a big day for Illinois media as we got almost 3 hours with Josh Whitman, the Illinois Athletics Director, as he had his annual media roundtable. What I think is always a great check-in with the leader of Illini Athletics, the person who's been the impetus behind all of this success as a department as a whole, but also a major leader in college athletics. So these have been very interesting, especially over the last half decade as we focus more on how does Illinois up its success, not how do they get success, and also what is happening in college athletics. Think of all the big changes that have happened in college athletics. It feels so long ago that NIL became a reality, and NIL has completely changed. The money these players are making is way up. I'm thinking of these guys that got drafted in the second round of the NBA draft. Some of them are making less money there than they were in college athletics. A lot of those guys that got drafted in the first round were already millionaires. So it has absolutely changed, but still a lot of chaos as we try to figure out what is the new reality. What are the guardrails? Are there any guardrails? So it was great to catch up with Josh Whitman. And not only did he have 3 hours with the media at large, he met with a couple of us individually. And Joey Wagner and I had 25 minutes in his office to kind of recap, because 3 hours is a lot of things, right? So we get an hour and a half today where Josh Whitman just made his address, talked about everything that he thought was going on in the athletic department, the big picture topics in college athletics. Then we take a quick 5-minute break, and we come back for about an hour of questions where we get to ask whatever we want of Josh Whitman. And I think we got a lot of insight. We tried to condense it here into the 20 minutes of the podcast that we had with him. I think we hit on a lot of the major, major topics with him. So we really appreciate him giving us some time, both on camera and here on the audio side of things on the podcast, to kind of check in with him, ask some questions that we wanted to follow up on and hit on. And we talk about football and what's the next step after Brett Bielema has taken them so far. And he has a great answer on that. We talk about basketball and the year that was so special for them and where they go from here. And we talk about the state of college athletics, which I know a lot of people out there are probably just fatigued by it. It's kind of what we hit on with Josh, who is part of this ugly process, about how he's kind of handled the frustration, how he's kind of handled it as an athletic director who wants to be governed and wants these rules, how he handles not having rules when he's got to be competitive. So I thought it was really good insight from Josh Whitman. We talked about some of the facilities projects as well. So I'll react to a little bit more of it after we hear from Josh Whitman, but I know you would rather hear from Josh Whitman himself, the Illinois Athletics Director, along with me and Joey Wagner, coming up next on the Illini Inquirer podcast. Welcome into the Illini Inquirer podcast special edition as we're in Josh Whitman's office, the Illinois Athletics Director, kind enough to join us. You've dealt with us media a lot today, so we appreciate the extra time with us, Josh.
Absolutely. Good to see you both.
Well, we do have to make the joke. It's good to see you, and it's good for you to see us, I'm sure. As you obviously had the double retina surgery here, Josh. Line prone for several weeks, not being able to see for a while. I'm just wondering, like, what goes through your head and all that? Because I'm sure there's a lot of time to think. Not a lot of time to do anything else.
Yeah, you know, it was scary. It was scary. You don't know what you don't know. You don't think a lot about your eyes. At least I didn't until you have a problem with them, and then you learn a lot in a hurry, and you trust people quickly because they say, well, we need to do this, and this will give you the best chance for recovery, but you are going to recover. But yeah, you can't help but let your imagination wander a little bit, and you're like, well, what if I don't recover? What if when they tell me that they put contacts in, I still can't see? What does that mean for me, for our family? So it was challenging for a while, and unfortunately just had a lot of support from Hope, my wife, and so many people here in the program, and I was able to continue to be, I thought, reasonably productive, but that was only because so many people were able to step forward and be helpful.
Yeah, the ship definitely did not stop for you guys, and you had a lot to do while you were there. And I'm wondering, Josh, you mentioned today about the power of college athletics, and it kind of spoke to me just about when athletics are good, what that can mean for university, because you guys are the front porch. It's kind of the saying. One of the reasons I came here It was Darren Williams and Dee Brown and Uther Powell and all those guys who were rising to power while I was in high school, and I wanted to be part of something big and part of that experience. And you talked today about, you know, sometimes there's an academics and athletics, you didn't say this, but sometimes there's an athletics, academics kind of butting heads. You guys can lift each other. It feels like, why was that important for you to talk about today after what was such a great year for Illinois athletics?
I think it's just really hit home for me over the last year or so, the way that our program is now able to deliver on this promise to the university. And we're really in a position, because of the visibility of athletics and the profile and the platform that we're provided, to be able to shine a light on this incredible place and to tell the story of this university. And so when you get 14 million people watching a basketball game, that's a 3-hour commercial for the university. And when you get a program like Fox's Big Noon kickoff event to come here and you're able to put that in front of Geese Memorial Stadium and highlight that facility and talk about this place, like, those are just incredibly impactful moments for people to become familiar with us. And then as you go through campus and you recognize that the students are having an incredible experience, you look on social media and you see Green Street and the alma mater after some of those big wins, and you have the chance to talk to some of our deans and understand how our success is helping them raise money and engage with alumni, and you start to sense it and feel it. And I think we've done a good job over the years of trying to be present for campus. We don't view ourselves as separate from the rest of the university, and it helps as we're now able to deliver on that commitment. It I think provides an opportunity for us to just look for, more and more opportunities for collaboration, and that ultimately, I think, is for the betterment of everybody.
I mean, you talked earlier today about that was the hypothetical for so long, was to make this a reality. And I'm not asking for a specific moment, but when did you feel kind of those waves start to shift away from being a hypothetical or maybe if you don't know a time, like, how do you feel that?
I don't know a specific time. I mean, it's happened here in the last couple of years. I think just walking through the stadium on a Saturday and seeing, oh, here's a suite that the College of Engineering has, and here's a suite that the College of Business has, and then recognizing that, as I've reflected back, Jeff Brown, the Dean of Business, introduced me to Larry Geese, and then several years later, we introduced them to Steve Weimer, whose name is now on the newest College of Business building. And so there's this symbiosis that's growing between the colleges and the units and the athletics program. It just is kind of all of a sudden kind of come into focus for me, and I knew how I wanted it to work, but then you're starting to see real demonstrated examples of that when somebody from Student Affairs comes up and says, hey, just so you know, in the surveys of our freshmen, a growing number of them are saying they're coming to Illinois over the other offers they had because they got excited about the basketball team or the football team. Like, those are real things that are happening, and so it just all of a sudden kind of crystallized for me, and I was like, man, this is it. This is what we have been striving for in terms of why our program can matter on so many levels to the university and to the community.
That's why I wasn't a Northwestern Wildcat, by the way.
Well, no comment.
It might go without asking, but to have such a heavy hand in shaping that and getting that from hypothetical reality, what does that mean to you? I'm assuming in those days you had to lie flat. Maybe you had a second to think about some of that. What's it mean to see that being realized?
Well, it means everything. I think at this point everybody knows how much I care about this place, and having gone through the 10th anniversary this spring, and then having the chance to spend some time with my eyes closed, that I have a much deeper, more personal appreciation for this place than I ever have. And for me, it's always been about the athletics program being in a position to serve a broader purpose. The winning matters in and of itself, but it's about what does the winning do for a bigger organization, for this university, for our community, for our alumni. Like, that's the difference between a place like Illinois and a Division III school, where I spent years, is we have the ability to reach out and affect so many more people because of the platform we're afforded. And so, you know, being able to use our program to elevate this place, at the end of the day, my allegiance is to the place first and foremost. And so now, having had the opportunity to provide some leadership and hopefully make a positive difference, not just in the four corners of the athletics department, but across the entirety of the university, is something that's really, really meaningful.
Josh, I think about where basketball has taken us to cover the team this year throughout the country. You know, Houston, what a great moment, and obviously Indianapolis. I know you wanted to win a couple more games, but what an open practice, what a fan base turnout, and then everything showed up at Willard. And then I'm in Brooklyn the other day seeing Keaton Wago get drafted number five overall. This is what you envisioned. Brad gets you here. I know you guys want more, though. I know you guys keep talking about national championship, but what has this year been like for Illinois basketball and for you to see get back on the stage?
It's been special, and obviously that one word can't possibly capture everything that it has actually meant. But as we talked about earlier today, it wasn't that long ago that we just wanted to get in the tournament. And I don't think we can ever let ourselves lose perspective on how hard it is to win at this level, and to get to a point where now we're making consecutive tournament appearances, where we're the winningest Big Ten program in the conference during the 2020s, in Elite Eight, Final Four. Like, these are huge markers for our program. And again, I think these stories are so much more meaningful when you know how the story started and where you are now. And so for some programs, these things would be exciting, but they wouldn't be, I think, as impactful because they didn't perhaps have the same starting point that we did. And so I give all the credit to Brad, to our staff, to our student athletes. But so many people have to come together to get something like this done, both inside and outside the program, our fans, our donors, our partners. There's just so many things that have to happen to get you to a place to compete. And I think what's great is, for years, even as we were getting into the tournament and we weren't getting as deep as we would like, we always talked about, you just have to keep knocking on the door. You have to keep showing up. And eventually, the breaks come your way, right? You have that special night where your best player performs at a high level, or where the bracket breaks open and the team that you thought you were going to have to play all of a sudden gets upset, and you find a path. And to be able to do that now two out of the last 3 years is pretty amazing. And now I think we're really well positioned to continue to make that a regular thing for us. And just got to continue to find ways to push that needle up.
Yeah, you have a good view of the huge scoreboard, video board that is going in for football. And we talk about the climb basketball has made. Football, relatively, has made just as big of a climb from where it was before Brett Bielema got here. And sustained success, it's what you've wanted, Josh. 3 out of 4 years, winning 8-plus games, close to getting bowl games in the 2 other years. But, of course, when you get that taste of success, you always want more. So in this conference, I know how difficult that is in football, but what is, now that you've raised the bar, what is the next step for this program, and how do you get there?
I think the next step for us is we have to find our way into that playoff. And we've knocked on the door here the last 2 years. And I think if it had been an expanded format, a 2014 field, I think clearly we're in it. And so we're in a different place than we've ever been. I think when the field was only four teams, that's pretty rare air. That's pretty hard to get to. You build it out to 12, now you've got something. Now you've got a real opportunity. And so as we talk with coach and our student athletes, like, that now is is the goal. And it's sort of the next objective that's out there. We've been in, I think, the Citrus Bowl was the premier non-CFP bowl game in the country. We've done that. Now we need to find a way to take that next step, and just have such great appreciation for and confidence in Coach Bielema and that group. And have a lot of faith that we're headed that direction.
Oh, just when you have your two highest visibility head coaches, Josh, with the bravado that Brett has, that Brad has, what does that do for the way, like Brad talked to us about changing the perception of Illinois basketball. Mm-hmm. Brett has certainly done that with football. What's that do for you guys when you have coaches go out there and kind of they're not afraid to strut a little bit?
No, I think it's almost necessary for a program like ours. I think you need a certain level of self-confidence. You need a level of internal fortitude. These are hard jobs, and there's a lot that goes into the day-to-day of making sure that you can support a program like this one, lead a program like this one, and especially when you're trying to change a narrative, right? When you're trying to change a public perception around a program, you can't be afraid to put yourself out there. You can't be afraid to really become the face and challenge people and people in the media, people in the public, and to say, hey, think differently. Like, your facts aren't right anymore. You need to go back and look at what this program has been over the last handful of years, not over the last 40 years. And that, I give them a lot of credit because they wear a lot of hats. But one of those hats is to be an advocate and to be an ambassador for the teams that they represent. And I think they do that exceptionally well.
You talked about if this was a 24 team, you guys would have been in. Where are you on that? And what do you think it's going to take? That seems to be the way it's trending to get that over the hump.
I'm not sure what it's going to take, but I do get the sense that momentum seems to be shifting that way. I think you're seeing coaches, even in the SEC, come out and say, we think that's a great idea. You're seeing more athletic directors jump on that side of the ledger. So I'm not quite sure what the inflection point will be or what will cause it to tip over, but it does seem like public sentiment is starting to shift that direction. I think it just makes a ton of sense. It's the opportunity for broader access. You're able to engage more fan bases. I think it enriches the regular season. It makes the month of November incredible across all of college football. So I'm hopeful that that's something that we can move toward relatively quickly. Ultimately, as has been well documented, the Big Ten, the SEC have the keys to that, and so we've got to get the SEC in the same place that we are. But I'm hopeful that can happen.
Joey and I talked before this. Is like, how much do we talk about the state of college athletics? Because mm-hmm. in January we talked all about it, Josh, and today you kind of reiterated what you've reiterated the last 2 years, which is, do we want to be governed? And that's the big question moving forward. So I'm sure there's fan fatigue about all this discussion, but I'm sure you're fatigued about this as well. So I sit here and think about, where's this going? How do we get there? But there's also a guy sitting in your position. It's a lot of pressure to win. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that keeps some athletic directors from wanting to be governed, because, you know, not being governed can maybe help them win a little bit. So how do we get to this next step? How do you, as your college leaders and fellow ADs and whoever it is in college sports, if it's not Congress, how do we get to where we need to go to have some structure here?
Well, at some point we have to come to some agreement around the system that we want and a willingness to comply with that system. Because if you've got everybody agreeing to comply with the system, then you can have a good system. If you've got nobody agreeing to comply with the system, you can have a good system. Well, you can't have a good system is if you've got some people complying with the system and other people who aren't. And that's kind of what we have right now, is that there's just this mishmash of people and schools that are interpreting what's appropriate in this moment differently. And so there are some challenges, as we've talked about. We're trying to determine, just because something's not in black and white in a rule book, ultimately it comes to rest on me and on us to have some calibrated sense of institutional value that's going to dictate or guide our decision making. And ours may be slightly different than other schools, and that's okay. But to your point, there is competitive pressure, and so we have to continue to iterate, be innovative, put people in the room, ask the right questions, pivot appropriately as we look for ways that we feel comfortable with to push and be aggressive within the system that we have now, while at the same time looking at how we might be able to improve that system or replace it with even another system. And I just think this is all part of the continuum. I think that we started with what we all knew and on some levels loved as amateur athletics. You'll never hear me talk about college athletics as amateur today. It's a word I don't use. But there are meaningful steps and benchmarks along the path that we have to hit. One of them is we now have the ability to directly compensate student athletes. That's a huge deal. I can't underscore that one enough. And so now, just getting to that point, philosophically, operationally, probably the most important step, right, that we've ever taken. Now it becomes about trying to figure out the more nuanced pieces about, well, how much and how is that happening and what's it for? And those are all really important questions too, but just getting the first, you know, I think sometimes we don't put enough emphasis on what we just did. Like, to be able to go from scholarships only to paying athletes in some cases hundreds of thousands or even millions of dollars, that's a huge thing. And now it's not perfect, but now we've got at least the tools in the toolbox to start to think about what, where we want the path to lead from this point.
And sometimes I think, because I think you're idealistic about what this can be, but I mean, you guys have made huge strides during this time, Josh. So I think some people think, well, Illinois doesn't have the resources that our program has. So, sure, maybe the Ohio State to Illinois football is a little bit different, but Illinois football is well resourced, right? So like, I think that's what kind of gets misinterpreted is, you guys have expensive football and basketball rosters, and you're finding ways. How have you found ways to compete despite maybe others, I'm not saying in Big Ten, but others aren't following the same paths and rules that you guys are?
You know, I go back all the way to when I first got here. We said a lot back then. We don't say it as much now, but we said a lot back then. We're never going to out Michigan, Michigan. We're never going to out Ohio State, Ohio State. Our theory was always, if we're just the best Illinois that Illinois can be the best there is. And that's really been our premise from day one until now, but it manifests itself in different ways. And so now here we are, where dollars have become ever more important in the system, and it just places a real premium on our people, which is inevitably the place that we turn back to find ways to be more strategic, more thoughtful, more disciplined in the way that we put our plan together, that we execute on that plan. And we have always expected that in order for us to have the success that we aspire to have, we're going to have to outpunch our weight class, and we're going to have to be able to compete a step or two above our spending level. And now, that, I think that last thing I just said is the key, like a step or two above. It can't be 10 steps above our spending level. And so we have to make sure that we're delivering to our coaches the resources that they need to at least be in the ballpark of competing against the schools in our conference. And that's ultimately a responsibility that I carry, and one that we're working on literally every day.
How do you not have fatigue with this? Like, I know, like, in talking to you, it means a lot to you to be a part of the hand that writes this new era, but I would imagine when you go here and you take a step, then one back, like, there's got to be some degree of exhaust. How do you balance those two things?
No, it's a fair question. It's not to say that there aren't days or moments of frustration or fatigue, but I just think that we've talked about this extensively within our staff, like, we have to think about these things as an opportunity. This landscape has been to the benefit of the University of Illinois in Fighting Illini athletics. To your point, we've done really well over the last 5 years, and there are a lot of reasons for that, but one of them is I think we have been pretty savvy in the way that we've attacked the environment around us, and so, you know, it's motivating in that sense. Like, this is our opportunity. We can't let it pass. This window is not going to be open forever. At some point, there will be more stability. There will be more predictability. But in this moment, there's not. And so, let's make hay while we can. And so, to be honest, yeah, are there days where you grow tired or frustrated? But we can't allow there to be very many, because then we're going to miss our opportunity. And again, all credit to our staff, our coaches. You know, we have preach this, like, hey, I don't want to hear anybody talking about the Wild West and about how this is out of control. And hey, this is our opportunity. This is our moment for Illinois to stand up and be recognized. And I think our staff has heard that loud and clear. And I have a lot of respect for the way that we've gone about trying to formulate and execute on our plans in these fairly chaotic moments.
Yeah. You have to wrap it up?
Yeah. Josh, we really appreciate the time. You do have new baseball facility renovation happening with Illinois Field. You got all this stuff happening. So just the fans, their experience. I know that's always forefront for you guys, is what their fan experience is coming to the game. So the projects you have on, like, what do you have coming up that is going to impact the fans who are listening to this?
Well, we got a few things in the works. I think, obviously, starting with Gies Memorial Stadium, the video board has received a lot of attention, and rightfully so. It will be the largest in college athletics by a lot, by 70% or so. I mean, it will be significant. We I think are just scratching the surface on understanding what that can mean for the fans and how that can change their in-stadium experience. We are putting in new sound, new lights. The lights we think will be a really cool element that we can use to enhance that game day environment even more. And then, you know, across the street here at the baseball field, we're really looking forward to yanking out that seating bowl. It's been there for a long time. We're going to replace it with a new bowl, all chairback seating, opportunity for us to bring fans in and give them an enhanced feeling and experience. And again, a program that's had a lot of success for us over the last two decades, and we love it when our fans are able to come out and enjoy that. So we got some other things in the pipeline, but those are the big ones right now, and really looking forward to getting it teed up again this fall and taking another crack at it.
Well, Josh, I know it never slows down for you. I'm sure you're glad to be back in the swing of all those things, but I hope you get some time in the summer to relax a little bit with the family. But we appreciate your time.
Appreciate you both. Thanks, Josh. Thank you, guys. Thanks.
All right, great stuff there from Josh Whitman. Really appreciate his time and being able to be in his office and sit down and talk with him a little bit. He hit on a lot of the major topics that we hit on today. I did find it interesting that Josh talked a lot about how the university now sees the value of Illini athletics. I found that really interesting because of what's going on in Michigan State. You can read up on all of that, but Tom Izzo has been very pointed. They've lost a president, a chancellor, and an athletic director, I believe, because partly, I mean, their board is kind of in shambles up there, and I think Josh wanted to reiterate that their board has been supportive of athletics, but that remains to be, it needs to remain that way, because Illinois athletics has certainly helped the academic side, and I think they can go hand in hand. So I just found that really interesting with what's going on at Michigan State that he did that. I do want to say, like, he dove into the eye issues he's had and being prone for 6 weeks and not being able to see. Just had to be an incredibly scary time. And shout out to his wife, Hope, for handling that. All the people around him, obviously, in the athletic department for all of that. He gave flowers to a lot of people, the basketball, football program, what's going on in some of the non-revenue sports as well. But obviously the baseball field renovation is a big deal. Like, that's something Dan Hartle was in want for, what, a decade? So to get a donor on board to be very supportive of that is big. Of course, money matters. And the Big Ten gets poached a lot from the SEC, and Illinois has gotten poached a lot from the SEC. Illinois does offer scholarships to every athlete. Joey Wagner got that out of Josh Whitman today. 100% of the athletes are given scholarships now, so that gives them some value, right, to go out and compete and get some good talent, because not everybody is given those full scholarships to people, but the SEC is obviously given top money. And Josh talked about it. At some point, if the revenue share increases to a point that maybe we put more money into the top of the roster, right, in other sports, not just basketball, in football, and we take away some of those scholarships and put some money more into that revenue share so that the top talent we're getting and it's not as spread out. But I did find it interesting. For the first time on the record, I think we've gotten Josh saying that all these scholarships are paid for, and Illinois made a big investment into that. And again, I hate to get in the weeds, but, like, if you go up to, if you spend more $2.5 million more on scholarships than you were before, that takes away from your revenue share, but Illinois can go way past that, and they've decided to go over that. So that's more money they are spending into these Olympic sports, which a couple years ago, I think we're in doubt of, like, are they going to support all these sports? Because basketball and football have to get most of the money here. If you want a athletic department that works, those sports have to be clicking. And obviously they are. And obviously that helps be able to put some money elsewhere. So some of that money they're making there, they're investing back into more scholarships and supporting them that way. And obviously asking donors for all of that as well. Josh seems very supportive of the CSC, and he doesn't sound like everything going on right now is a college sports commission problem, but that it's athletic directors, conference commissioners. Do we want to be governed? Do we all want to get on the same page? And as I brought up with him, I get why some don't want to be governed, because they have to win to keep their jobs. Josh is secure here. Right, like there are other athletic directors that are very secure, but if you're the Ole Miss AD or the LSU AD or Ohio State AD, you better be winning, and you're gonna find anything you can to win and win at a high level, because you know you might not be as established as Josh Whitman. So there's always gonna be a push for more and more and more. I do think Josh has kind of towed that line of being like, hey, we're gonna do things the right way, but also we are going to make sure that we're not falling behind. And I think he's kind of created that balance right now, and we'll see how long that lasts. But Josh is very competitive too. But he's trying to toe that line of not doing things that he doesn't think are right. So it's been an interesting place that he's been in throughout this entire time. And he talked a lot about the College Sports Act today. He's appreciative of Congress and especially the Senate putting forward a bill. He just thinks it's too prescriptive. He thinks that it tries to address too many problems and too intricate of a way. So there are things that need to be changed, because he said, you know, once you pass a law, it's really hard to change it. So we need to focus and get the right bill through right now. But Congress would be the easy way to address this. But we know Congress passing a bill nowadays in a bipartisan manner is really, really difficult. And I like that they're making the effort to do it, but Josh said, hey, if we're going to do this, like, we aren't supportive right now in the Big Ten and SEC because it's not the right bill yet, but we would like to work hard towards that goal eventually. The other facilities things, Memorial Stadium, Josh said today that the horseshoe is not, there's no plan yet to renovate that because it would cost hundreds of millions of dollars. And I know that's an area that probably needs more renovation. Like, they've made some upgrades, obviously, out there with bathrooms and things like that. But that would be hundreds of millions of dollars, which right now I think you're focused on investing into your programs roster-wise, right? And to make that big of an expense would be huge at this point. So that's not where they're going yet. But obviously a new video board, and it's huge, is going in. You have new ribbon boards. They say the Wi-Fi will be working this year, so fans have that to look forward to. But they're still looking for some upgrades on the east and west sides of the stadiums. Otherwise, I think we covered it all with Josh Whitman. He got into a lot of the different sports. You know, he hit on the new softball coach, the new women's tennis coach, saying that volleyball, like, yes, they need to do better, but we need to do better for them. And part of that is they want a new volleyball and wrestling standalone practice facility. But he said that it's really just in the exploratory stages there. It sounds like it's next up on their priorities, but they're still lower, it's on the priorities, but they're not quite there to announcing anything. But it sounds like they're in the stages of trying to figure out what is the best path for a wrestling and volleyball facility, which those two sports need a better practice facility. And he said Huff Hall will remain the place for games, but they're hoping for a better day-to-day spot. And he said that's helped sports before. Like with football and basketball, you might address the practice facility because that's your day-to-day venue. And then eventually you make a long-term decision on, you know, just volleyball play in State Farm Center. It's pretty difficult with basketball season going on at the same time, wrestling season sometimes going on at the same time. But do they have a standalone, you know, venue for them eventually? That's down the line. They want to take care of the practice facility first, and they're just getting underway with some of those things. So he hit on that. He hit on all the other sports as well. Josh is doing so well that some of his associate ADs. Some of the people that are higher ups in his athletic department are getting taken away. Roger Denny gets hired at Oklahoma. Tom Moreland, obviously at Toledo. He's got a little AD tree going, so I asked him about that. But we'll have plenty of coverage from all of this at Illini Inquirer. You really can't get too into the weeds on one podcast, but I think we covered the main things that Josh Whitman talked about. But it's hard not to reflect on Josh Whitman now 10 years in, how everything has changed. Yeah, he talked about today, and he said on this podcast, we just wanted to get to the NCAA tournament. We just wanted to get to bowl games. And now we're asking the questions of, how did they get over that hump in the Final Four and Elite Eight and actually win the national championship basketball? How do they get to the college football playoff? Are you happy with 7 or 8 or 9 wins in a football season? Women's basketball. Now let's find a way to get to hosting an NCAA tournament game. Not just getting there or winning an NCAA tournament game. You're to the point where you're talking about some grand things in these sports, like golf having a disappointing year and they finish 15th or top 15 in the polls, right? That's different. That's different of where this program has gone, and Josh is at the head of it all. Like, he's the leader of it all. He has ushered them through these chaotic times in college athletics and found ways to propel the program forward through all that chaos. And now you're on the cusp of even doing bigger things because you're keeping the people. Like, you are keeping the people who are changing things. Like, 10 years ago, if Brad Underwood has success, would you have been able to keep him? Shauna Green, when she has success, would she just leave for that next job? Brett Bielema, kind of the same thing. And all of them talk about how important Josh Whitman is to that. Like, that's why they want to be here, along with the fan base, all of that. But their boss is a big, big reason why. So Illinois is fortunate to have him, and I think he'll be here for a while. I know some of their biggest questions are, you know, would Josh take another job? We've asked him that on this podcast before, and he said he's got goals. He's got some other things that he could like to do. I always think the football czar, if we ever do get guardrails, Josh would be well equipped for a job like that. Big Ten commissioner, sure, he could do that job. But Tony Petitti just got there. I don't think he's leaving anytime soon, because that's a great job. And you also have, like, the NCAA president just got there too. Charlie Baker's only a couple years into that job. So he could do all those jobs. But with Brett Bielema, Shauna Green, and Brad Underwood doing what they're doing, I think Josh Whitman's put a lot of work into this project, and I think he wants to see it through. So I think he'll be here a while longer. The other one, hockey, no, not happening, guys. Not happening. He said it a couple years ago that never say never, and maybe 10, 15, 20 years down the line, we can re-up those things, but no, there is no update. Like, we are not asking that question every year. We kind of ask it jokingly, but even when we ask it jokingly, it's like, no, that is not on the docket right now. But we appreciate Josh Whitman and all his time. It's great to have that accessibility. I think it's really important for fans to hear from their AD, and Josh Whitman has never been afraid to do that. Not every AD does this. Not every Illinois AD has done this. Mike Thomas was probably too accessible at times. His predecessor was probably not accessible enough. We didn't hear enough from him. So, like, I think he does a really good balance of being out there, addressing us, but not overly so that we get to talk to him every month where you're getting update and you're getting tongue-tied on things that you say. But he's been accessible to us, and I think that's really important for you, the fan, to be able to hear from your athletic director. And it's a lot easier, of course, when things are going well. But things are going well for this athletic department, and Josh Whitman gets a ton of credit for that. We thank him for his time. Thanks to Joey Wagner for joining me as well. And we thank you for listening to the Illini Inquirer podcast. Give us a follow, rating, or review wherever you get your podcasts. Check us out on YouTube and hit that like button, subscribe, and hit the notifications bell. But for Joey Wagner, for Josh Whitman, I'm Jeremy Warner. Everybody have a great day. Take care of each other. And we'll talk to you next time right here on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Bye, everybody.